Lord, we come to you. We come before you, recognizing you're always with us. And you do love us, because that's who you are. That's who you've always been. Lord, help us to recognize who we are. Who we are as your creation. Who we are as your servants. Lord, we come before you asking that you might touch our hearts, that we might be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture, we've been in 1 Corinthians 13 for the past 3 weeks, and we will continue to be there. If you want to turn your Bibles to that, we'll be looking at that in a moment. But 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5 is where you'll be looking. But just reviewing really quickly the past 3 weeks. On Valentine's Day, we talked about the fact all we need is love. And we talked about what that love is. Kind of what Linda just talked about and what we're talking about in our small groups and our Sunday school classes, really understanding what love is, a type of love that we can't have. We can't express by ourselves. We have to have the Holy Spirit in us to really understand and engage, to receive and to give the type of love that we're sharing and talking about. And I'll just say up front, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't understood what it is to have the Holy Spirit be a part of your life, then that's a part of the invitation today. And there'll be a time at the end of the service that I invite you to come forward. I would love to have more of a discussion, a talk with you about that. The things that we're talking about here are exciting, and if they feel like you can't reach them, you can't grab a hold to them, because you don't understand fully what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, don't let that time continue to go by, because you need to get on the love train we're going to talk about several weeks down the road and be a part of this exciting thing God desires to do. So all we need was love is where we start out. Then we said love was simple. And I said if I just came in and asked us if love was simple, most everybody would say no, because you have examples of where love's not simple. But the type of love that God's talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, I believe can be simple if we just narrow it down to what it is God desires and what God's talking about. Last week we talked about how love responds to hurt. And then I have something else I'm going to talk about today, but I want to follow up on that. And it's always my hope, my desire, that when we share something together, and as I stand up here and I share a message, I hope and I pray it's not just me giving a bunch of words, but it's us together engaging in something that the Holy Spirit is at the center of. And I was delighted when I had a conversation this week with Jessica Withers. And Jessica, you can come on up here. You can stand here since there's a microphone there if you don't mind. And she was telling me about some things God had been speaking to her about this week. And I think that really follows on the tails of what it was we talked about last week, because we talked about hurts. And I think she's going to be talking some about problems that you may face and how to deal with that, and just understanding the practicality of the messages we've been talking about for the past few weeks. So as we move into the message for today, I'm just going to invite Jessica to share what's on her heart as we begin.
Okay, I'm really nervous, so I had to write down what I was going to say. First, I'd like to start out by praying the Lord's Prayer, if you don't mind bowing your heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Over the past year, there have been a lot of problems that have come up in my life. And this prayer is one that I've prayed many, many times. There were times that I was so distraught that I actually did not know what to do or say. But I was brought to my knees and only knew to pray this prayer. I came to realize that I am a child of God and that He will not give me more than I can bear. And that if I just give up control of the problems in my life, and that he can return joy and peace to my life. This is a daily process, however, and I am still learning. I recently read in this book, Jesus Calling, a section on problems that I had that I'd like to share with all of you. And it comes from the following passages, Romans 8:28 and 1 Corinthians 1:23-24. But this is the commentary that I read, and it really spoke to me, and I felt that I needed to share it. And when God spoke to me that I needed to share it, I was like, I don't want to get up in front of a lot of people. But God really laid it on my heart to share it this morning, because I felt that someone today needed to hear it. Maybe not in this service or the next service, but maybe somebody can pass it along to somebody that needs to share it. So I'll share it with you today. Make friends with the problems in your life. Though many things feel random and wrong, remember that I am sovereign over everything. I can fit everything into a pattern for good, but only to the extent that you trust me. Every problem can teach you something, transforming you little by little into the masterpiece I created you to be. The very same problem can become a stumbling block over which you fall if you react with distrust and defiance. The choice is up to you, and you will have to choose many times each day whether to trust me or defy me. The best way to befriend your problems is to thank me for them. The best way to befriend your problems is to thank me for them. This simple act opens your mind to the possibility of benefits flowing from your difficulties. You can even give persistent problems nicknames, helping you to approach them with familiarity rather than from dread. The next step is to introduce them to me, enabling me to embrace them in my loving presence. I will not necessarily remove your problems. I will not necessarily remove your problems. But my wisdom is sufficient to bring good out of every one of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. And I don't know that God always lays it on our hearts to share in the way Jessica did today, but I know that it wasn't an easy thing for Jessica to do, and she's also agreed to share in the next service as well. And it seems pretty simple. But for those who need to hear that type of word, it's anything but simple. And whether it's sharing in the way Jessica did, or whether it's sharing with somebody you meet during the week, whether it's changing something about the way you interact with your family during the week, when God lays something on our hearts, we have a responsibility to respond. So I encourage you to do so, whatever that is in your life. Let's look together at 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. This is what it says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Last week we focused on love is patient and love is kind. So we're going to kind of pick up right after that and with it does not envy and move on to the end of the verse. But today's title is How Love Responds to Differences. And I want us to think about differences. And before I get to how love responds to differences, I want us to think just briefly about how the world responds to differences. Just think really quickly. These are some differences I just came up with off the top of my head. I want you to think about how the world responds to them. Well, differences in race. differences in religion, economic status, physical ability, mental ability, special needs, and even personality. How does the world respond to these differences? I want to suggest that the world that I live in, the world as I've seen it, these are some of the responses I see to the differences I just mentioned. Fear, anger, judgment, threats. But then there's something else on the other extreme that I don't think is included a lot. When it comes to differences, there can even be blind acceptance. Now, I think when we're going to talk about how we need to accept each other's differences, but blind acceptance is something that I don't think we need to be a part of, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But, in fact, I'll get to that right now. I was struck by another person that came into my office this week, somewhat unexpectedly, and she didn't come expecting to have this conversation. I didn't see her come into the door expecting to have this conversation, but it kind of just happened. She is the mother of a special needs child. And as we got to talk and just talking, asking her how things were going, what the day had been like, what her week's been like, just catching up, she began to really open up in a way that we'd never had opportunity to have conversation before. And as we did, she made a comment. She said, "Greg, I really want to get to a point where I can be more involved in some different type of things, and one of those is church. I'd like to be involved more and be connected more in some ways like this, but it's just really difficult." And she went on to say, "You know, it's even hard for us. My husband and I dream sometimes about going to a restaurant and having a meal just like other families do. Because, you know, we'll look at each other and we'll say, should we? Can we? Can we just try it?" And they go in and they say more times than not they have to get up and leave their meal on the table because of the challenges of trying to make it through a meal with this person, this kid that they love who is a special needs child. And she told me very quickly, she said, "Greg, don't get me wrong. I love my child with every ounce of what I have, and God himself entrusted me, and I feel pretty special that God entrusted me with a special needs child and believes that I have the ability to help take care of this person." She said, "But Greg, sometimes it hurts. I can't tell you the number of times that I've walked into Food Lion and have people look at me, judging me, thinking I'm an unfit parent because they don't know my situation. And they at times have even said mean and hurtful things that caused me to go home in tears." But she didn't say this from a point of weakness. She didn't say this from a point of feel sorry for me. She said it from a point of strength. And she said, "I simply wish more people knew." So this brings me back to the all of this I just said. A lot of times we fear, we have anger or judgment or threats because of things that are different. But the other thing is blind acceptance isn't what this mom wanted either. This mom didn't want everybody to say that everything's just okay. She wants people to understand not just her situation and her child, but to understand the specialness of special needs and allow them to be the people God created them to be. So this was an example that hit home to me today, and I don't think it was an accident that this person walked in to my office the week that I was about to preach a sermon about responding to differences, because if she hadn't, I would not have thought of this type of difference. I would have simply thought more along the lines of the differences in race, religion, and economic status. I wouldn't have gone to the places that I probably mess up the most, that I probably neglect people the most, because sometimes I'm not sure exactly what to do or how to handle it. But let's continue. and look at what the Bible has to say. If you have the love of God in your heart, the love that we just sang about, the love that originates in the Spirit that we can have as a part of our life, if we have that love in our heart and our life and our mind and our soul, Scripture says that we are less likely to envy, less likely to be boastful, less likely to be proud, less likely to disrespect other people, less likely to care more about what we're going to get than other people, less likely to be easily angered, and less likely to keep a list of what everybody's done wrong to us. Because you know, God doesn't want us to live that type of life. So if we have that love of the Holy Spirit, then we're more likely to live a type of love that's in contrast to what we just shared. So I want to suggest that moving forward from this, what God wants us to do is to celebrate our differences, to truly celebrate our differences. And I want you to think about this. What if we were all the same? What if we all had the same giftedness? And I thought about some of the most popular things that people say they want to be when they grow up. And some I came up with were doctor, lawyer, firefighter, and baseball player. Now imagine if those were the things that everybody was. You were one of these four. And that's what our world was. Everybody was either a doctor, lawyer, firefighter, or baseball player. We wouldn't have any mechanics. We wouldn't have any farmers. We wouldn't have football. We wouldn't get to say UVA beat Tech. We wouldn't have artists, office workers, cooks. And you know, cooks are pretty important. Uh-oh. You can't speak now. We wouldn't have cooks, and cooks are pretty important to me. You see, God created us with unique, created us in the ways he wanted. God created us with uniqueness. And I believe that we need to recognize that. If we continue just thinking about now, instead of thinking about the job thing, let's think about if we were all the same height or all had the same degree of intelligence or all had the same taste in clothes. I'm not the fashion police. Trent even asked me this morning and said, Greg, did I dress too springy coming to church today? I said, Trent, you look fine. But I'm not the fashion police, and I'm fine with Trent dressing however he dressed this morning, whether he's springy or not. How about if we all had the same athletic ability? You know, the World Series or the NCAA tournament wouldn't be very interesting. How about if we all had the same interest? Now, it's easy to look at that and say, but Greg, that's not really what we're talking about. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants everybody to be the same in that way. It's other ways that we need to really, it's that we're really talking about, that we really struggle with. If you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty, I say, okay, let's go there. And a couple of real-life experiences that happened to me, I want to suggest and let you know how God spoke to me through them. And one was, I grew up as a good Baptist. They never said it to me, but I know many of the people that were people that taught me what they did in my faith and this type of thing probably would have been of the mindset that if Baptists aren't right and Catholics are wrong, they never said Catholics were going to hell, but I bet sometimes they believed it. And they definitely believed that the Baptists had it right and the Catholics had it wrong. Now, that was where I was coming from when I was a junior in high school. And I had an opportunity to go on a mission trip. And I went on a mission trip to Connecticut with people from my association. And we go, and we're going for the purpose of seeing if there might want to be enough interest up there to start some Baptist churches in the northern part of the United States. So we go up there, and we're actually doing door-to-door surveys. There are a lot of Catholics up there. So we go up there, and I'm reading through the survey before we ever get there because I'm supposed to be familiarize myself with it and know what I'm going to say and what I'm going to ask. And somebody messed up on the survey. I know they messed up because this is what happened. They had a thing where you would ask them if they were Catholic, and they would say yes or no. And I figured, what you're supposed to do if they're Catholic. You're just really nice and say thank you very much and you walk to the next place. But that ain't what the survey did. The survey said, you ask them if they're Catholic, even if they said yes, you went on to the next question. It said, would you be interested in hosting a Bible study in your home for a group of Baptist believers? And I'm thinking, that's just wrong. They ain't no Catholics that's going to want to do that. Because I'm assuming the Catholics think about me the way I've been trained to think about them. But God took that and turned it on its head. Because more times than not, those people who I'd already prejudged as Catholic were very welcoming and said, you know, we would love to open our homes. We would be glad to have someone come in and lead that here. And it might be good to have some different types of churches in our neighborhood, people who are excited about who Christ is, and they're like, yes, I'll open my home. You could have knocked me over with a feather. See, I thought this mission trip, this happens more times than not on a mission trip. I obviously thought I was going to make a difference in a bunch of lost souls up north when I did this mission trip. I don't know if a single one of them happened, but I know that God changed me closer to where he wanted me to be in understanding about his creation and his people and the way he loved me and the way he loved the people that I came in contact with. So you see, somebody illustrated to me what love does in the face of differences. Another example, just quickly, won't be as long as what that one was. I used to be at a church where we had a deaf ministry. And there was a person in the deaf community that passed away, so the pastor there did the funeral. And in the midst of the funeral, he said, well, you know, Henry, he's not deaf anymore. He can hear. He's gone to heaven. So he can hear just like everybody else can. And that really bothered the deaf culture. Because, see, this pastor, and he did it innocently. And he was able to have conversations, and he came to a better understanding. But his judgment was that these people who were deaf were somehow or another less or not whole. But they said, you know, for us, when we get to heaven, it means everybody knows sign language. It means everybody can stand across the room and communicate with their hands, even though you can't hear with your ears. That's what heaven is for us. So you see, differences are to be celebrated. Well, my next thing under that is, what makes you the person you are? Love appreciates yourself. And we first talked about comparing. So if you look back at the scripture, all of those things where it said, love does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor, it's not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no records of wrongs. These are the things that you don't do in terms of the way you think about others. But I want to take a minute, just step back and focus on the one that says, it does not envy. This is what love does in relationship to your own. In other words, you don't sell yourself short. And I particularly chose that word short. I'm going to talk about my wife. She doesn't know this. But if you haven't noticed, Christy's shorter than average. And she, in the time that I've been married to her, I've learned that she's exemplified this scripture very appropriately. Because if most of the time, if you ask people, if you just go and you ask the child when they grow up, do they want to be short or tall, almost everybody is going to say tall. It's assumed that tall is the thing that you strive for. My wife has come to understand that there are benefits to being short. And these are a few of them. You always have leg room on planes, trains, and buses. Robert, can you relate to that? Crowd weaving is an art form. You can shop in the children's section and save tons of money. You will look young forever. You're a perfect crowd surfing candidate. You'll always be able to fit your entire body underneath those tiny throw blankets instead of having to cast your feet into the freezing open air. Kids will love you because they think you're one of them. Needing help reaching the top shelf makes for an instant conversation starter at the grocery store. You'll be carded forever, which at some point will start feeling very flattering. And you can curl up into things more easily, whether they're movie seats, desk chairs, or living room furniture. So you see, and I'm proud of my wife. I have not once heard her in the whole time we've been married say, "I wish I was taller." Not once. But I've heard many times and seen many times where she's embraced the fact that her shortness is something that God has given her that she can appreciate. God created every person unique. God could have made us any way he wanted, but he made each and every one of us different, and it wasn't an accident. God chose to do it that way. Why do you think God, the God, the creator, the God of the universe, saw fit to do this? If God sees our uniqueness as something special, don't you think we should as well? If God sees our uniqueness as something special, don't you think we should as well? I want to do something. And I want you to take a moment. And right now, I'm going to challenge you just to have a quiet time prayer with God. One of the things that I learned, and now that I've embraced the value of the way Catholics do a lot of things, one of the things is they have a good vertical relationship with God. And when they come to worship, a lot of times they can focus on God in a way that they really can feel it's just them and God there. And we don't do that enough. We do a really good job at fellowshipping horizontally and worshiping horizontally and realizing we're together and we need to do that, but we miss out on the vertical sometimes. And so I want us to do that right now for just a moment. I want to challenge you to pray. And I'm just going to lead you in three different ways to pray. And I'm going to pause, and I want you, it's just you and God, and my voice is just to guide you in maybe the direction you might be praying this morning. So I invite everyone to get into a prayerful position, whatever that is, closing your eyes, whatever it may be that you want to do, as we take a moment to pray, to appreciate our uniqueness and that of those around us. Is there an aspect of who you are that God created that you should embrace instead of wishing was different? Think about that. Pray about that right now. Is there an aspect of who I am that God created that I should embrace instead of wishing I was different? Is there a specific trait, difference, look about people around me that I need to appreciate instead of judging or looking down upon? Is there a specific trait, difference, or look about people around me that I need to appreciate instead of judging or looking down upon? Invite God to help you see the uniqueness in yourself and others so that we may see each other as God sees us. Invite God to help you see the uniqueness in yourself and others so that we may see each other as God sees us. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. I've got one whole other point out of my three. I haven't gotten to the third one yet, so I'm going to try to do it in 30 seconds. but I think it's important. Comparing our differences can take us down a bad road. There's always somebody on your right and somebody on your left. There's always somebody that's better off than you are, that you don't have as much as they do, and there's always somebody worse off that you can look down upon. And we shouldn't do either. We don't need to look and say, I wish I had all this. I wish I were more like them. I wish I could be like that. And we don't look down on somebody and say, I can't believe they're living that kind of life. I can't believe that's where they are. I can't believe they can't do better. Either one of those is dangerous. And if you're going to a small group today, you're going to get to talk about that more, and I think it's going to be very relevant. But discipleship, which we're going to be moving into once we're done with talking about spiritual simplicity, turns all of this on its head. And discipleship does look at the right and left, because you know how we do that? We look on one side and we say, there's always somebody that should be able to mentor us, somebody that can help point us in the direction, that can help us grow in the way God wants us to. But then there's always somebody on the other side that we should be able to be mentoring, somebody that we should be able to be helping to grow, that needs to know God's love. So in that sense, we do look on the right and left, not to compare differences, but to celebrate in a way that brings us all closer to where we need to be with God. That's what love does in the face of difference. I invite you to respond as God would lead. I'll be here at the front. The altar's open. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, like I said, I'd love to have your conversation with about that, so you can understand the spirit of how the Spirit comes into you and gives you a love to receive and give like you can't do by yourself. But let's stand together and sing.